Should Dalvin Cook be a cap casualty? And for that matter, who should be a cap casualty? How do we figure that out? Let's get into it on the Locked On Vikings podcast.
You like it on 3-1-2-3? You like it!
You are Locked On Vikings, your daily Minnesota Vikings podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Locked On Vikings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As always, I'm your host, your pal, and the kid you copied off in math class. My name is Luke Braun. You can find me on Twitter at Luke Braun NFL. You can find the show on Twitter at Locked On Vikings. Thank you so much for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day, each and every day. Today's show is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. And of course, you can find the show on Amazon Fire or Roku. Put it right up on your smart TV by downloading the Locked On Minnesota Sports app. Today on the show, I want to get into the question, should Dalvin Cook be a cap casualty? I'll tell you right now, my opinion on that is pretty wishy-washy. I could sort of be convinced either way. If they cut him, I don't think that that's a crazy idea. If they don't and they find the money elsewhere, that's certainly a viable thing to do. I don't think we get into a situation where, you know, we're looking at camp going, my goodness, they could have gotten more. They needed more free agents, but they just didn't have the cap space. Or, oh my God, they can't extend Justin Jefferson now because they don't have the cap for that. Or I don't think we get into that situation and still have Dalvin Cook running around the field. I think the two options are really cut him or keep him and the cap space is found elsewhere. And that's how I really want to start this. When we talk about a cap casualty, and we'll get into later in the show, we'll get into Dalvin Cook himself and some of the thoughts I have on his stats and stuff, and the actual cap savings and how it works and the way I view contracts. We'll get into all of that. But first, just the idea of the cap casualty is when we talk about cutting someone to save for Dalvin Cook, it would save almost $8 million net. After you account for the dead cap and the proration and all that stuff. So when you think about cutting someone for $8 million, it is, I think, tempting to just look at that as a one-for-one trade-off, as saying, well, I've got this running back, and he represents what he represents, and I think he's this good, and I'm this concerned about his injuries, and blah, blah, blah. And I can trade that into the store and get $8 million back that I can then spend on something else. I don't think it plays out that way very often because it's usually part of a grander plan, right? You're not making these as a series of independent decisions in a vacuum where you're trading in a guy and you're getting money and then you're spending that money on a guy. It fits into a larger plan. And the way that I typically do this is you kind of have to stay in the big picture. This is the way I prefer to think about it because I think it's closer to the way that teams really think about it, which is, okay, what are the things you want to do this offseason, right? What's the stuff we want to figure out how to do? Get under the cap. Okay, well, that's a must. Got to get a corner, right? Let's say we want a center, extend Justin Jefferson, and let's say we want to get extensions to Dalvin Tomlinson and TJ Hockenson too. I don't know. I'm making stuff up. Maybe I missed something you like. But let's say that's the group of things we want to do. And you go, okay, how much is that going to cost? There is your money amount. Okay, now let's find that cap space. And I think we often think about it in the order that the moves actually occur, which is you cut guys and then you spend the money on guys. But I think it really plays out the other way around a lot more often. And that's why I kind of have to see what the big picture is to understand where I feel, like where I land on cutting Dalvin Cook or not. If cutting Dalvin Cook represents the difference between being able to extend Justin Jefferson or not, if that is the choice we are presented with, we're all making the same choice there. We're saying thanks for all the fish, Dalvin. We're extending JJ, right? But what if it doesn't come down to that? What if the difference between cutting Dalvin Cook and not is, well, if we cut Dalvin Cook, we can bring in a guy like Bashaud Breeland. And if we don't cut Dalvin Cook, we probably can't bring in that guy. It gets a little harder, right? I'm not sure I really care that much about bringing in a Bashaud Breeland. I think I'd rather have Dalvin Cook on the team, right? And I prefer to think of it as that decision tree, as what am I actually choosing between here? Because the goal, again, is not to amass the most liquid assets possible. The goal is to build a team. So what version of the team does this actually end up being? And I think it's easy to make mistakes when you're thinking about, you know, keeping Dalvin Cook is a final outcome. You enter the season with Dalvin Cook now. Getting rid of Dalvin Cook is not a final outcome, right? That $8 million, you don't just walk into the season with that. You spend it on something. You know, that represents the difference between making a move or not. And what that move is really the decision that you're making. So I just want to like reframe the way that we think about it and think about, okay, what actually happened here rather than getting bogged down in all of the different permutations of what could have happened. It's very easy to get excited about what can happen, right? It's the whole, it could be a boat or a mystery box thing. But even more than that, it's really easy to imagine that $8 million going to the next Za'Darius Smith-sized signing. And you go, well, of course I'd rather have Za'Darius Smith than Dalvin Cook. Let's do it. But we forget that sometimes that guy's a John Carlson, right? Sometimes that's just a big old whifferoni. Or perhaps the goal is like, look, they're making this much cap space one way or another. And whether or not they cut Dalvin Cook is more about, do they choose that? Or are they able to, say, renegotiate with someone like Adam Thielen or Harrison Smith, which I do think they're going to approach both of those players at some point this offseason, whether it's before or after the deadline or the league year turns over. I'm not sure, but those guys are both playing on like $19 million hits, and I don't think that that's going to stand. So maybe the decision tree isn't really up to them as much, because if you can, you know, the goal, again, is to build a team, not to build a portfolio of assets. It's to build a team of dudes who can play. So if you want to make a bunch of cap space, let's say you approach Adam Thielen and you say, hey, we want to save money here. And we're either going to do that by cutting you, or you can agree to a different kind of contract that saves us more in the long term or whatever. And let's say you find a way to negotiate that out and you get something that Adam Thielen agrees to and you can get his cap hit down without cutting him. And let's say the cap savings are the same. I think they save like $7 million or something like that cutting Adam Thielen. And let's say he just agrees to reduce his base salary by $7 million and maybe void out some other years and change some stuff about the contract and say, well, I'll just take the pay cut, but I'll still be paid. And the Vikings say, okay, yeah, we'll take that. Well, would you rather save $7 million and keep Adam Thielen, or save $7 million and get rid of Adam Thielen? The choice there should be easy. So let's say they do that with Adam Thielen and Harrison Smith. It might come down to, well, if Harrison Smith says no to that and we can't do anything and we don't want to cut him, then we'll cut Dalvin Cook and we'll find the money there instead. And maybe it just comes down to how other situations shake out. That's the way I want to think about this. So I want to look at Dalvin Cook's contract and what it would mean if we did cut him, because when he signed it, everyone hated that contract because it's paying a running back, right? There is no greater sin in the world. I mean, you might as well, like, I mean, straight to jail, right? Gulag right away. So that's the greatest sin of all in the history of mankind. So let's look at how that worked out. Before we do that, though, I would like to talk to you about LinkedIn Jobs. It is Q1. Still, and some of you might still be hiring at your small business to try to meet your Q1 goals, to meet your year-long goals, expand the team. Hopefully you are looking up in 2023 and you're expanding. And if you are doing that, LinkedIn Jobs is a must. Gotta have that be a part of your hiring process. They have 875 million member profiles. It is a huge swath of people, but don't get intimidated by that number, because they also have a whole bunch of ways to narrow that down, screening tools and questions and stuff like that. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus their leading competitors. So get that hire right. And the hiring process is a very important thing that you shouldn't skim over. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNFL. That's linkedin.com/lockedonNFL to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Thanks again for making Locked On Vikings your first listen of the day. For your second listen, check out Locked On NFL. You can find me there on Tuesdays with Ross Jackson, or you can go listen today where they're doing probably some championship game preview stuff if you're interested in that. For us, let's talk about the running back contracts a little bit. And before I get into Dalvin's, I actually want to do So the reason I'm doing this episode in the first place is because there was a tweet that got me thinking. I quote tweeted it. You can see it on my timeline about Ezekiel Elliott's contract from like Cowboy Land. Ezekiel Elliott's contract on its surface looks really, really rough. Let me give you some cap hits, right? And this is what the tweet was. In 2023, if the Cowboys don't do anything, he will cost $16.7 million. He will cost $14.3 million in 2024, $17.1 the year after that, and then $16.6 the year after that. Those are some big boy numbers for a running back, and I don't think anybody wants to be in that situation, which is why Ezekiel Elliott is a very popular candidate for cap casualty in Dallas. And I could see that happening for sure. But I want to try to pitch a different way of looking at contracts after they get cut. Because when he got it signed, when he signed that deal, it was reported as a six-year, $90 million contract. And everybody flipped out about it, right? That was like the news of the hour. Oh my God, the Cowboys are so dumb. They paid a running back $90 million. Well, let's say that they cut Ezekiel Elliott and they post-June him. The June 1st rule, if you are not familiar, is essentially if you wait until June 1st or in the middle of the season is really what this kind of counts as, or if you cut somebody in camp or whatever. Usually, if you cut somebody now, like if the Vikings cut Dalvin Cook right now, his signing bonus, his prorated signing bonus, you know, if you sign a $12 million signing bonus over 4 years and it chunks into $3 million a year, that all accelerates and you have to pay whatever's left of it all at once. With the post June 1st thing, if you wait until after June, you can pay this year of signing bonus as though it was normal, and then all the acceleration happens next year. So with Ezekiel Elliott, his amounts in prorated signing bonus, this is money that they've already paid to Ezekiel Elliott that you can't get rid of by trading, you can't get rid of by cutting. You have to pay this off at some point. It's like debt that needs to be paid. In 2023, they owe $5.8 million. Next year, they owe $4.3 million. And the year after, they only owe 1.7 because of a small restructure that happened, I think, in 2021. So that means that if they do the post-June thing, if they don't do it, they pay about 12 mil in dead cap for Ezekiel Elliott. They save about 4 mil cutting him, and it doesn't feel very good, but you're out of the contract now. If they post-June it, they pay 5.8 this year and about 6 million even next year, close to 6 million even next year. It's a little more palatable. So I think that is the option for the Cowboys that makes the most sense, to split that thing up. And you essentially just get to split it in half. You still have to pay it. And the cap websites, if you go to like the cap calculator on Over the Cap, they don't have a great way to like denote that. But just understand that clicking the June 1st button makes the dead cap money go down, but know that you're not getting rid of that dead cap money. You're just putting it into next year. That's a way to think about it. But I do think that that's a reasonable idea for the Cowboys here with the Ezekiel Elliott contract. So if they do that, since 2019, when he signed that deal, his cap hits will have been $6.3 million in 2019 because he just signed it. Then it goes up to $10.9 million in 2020. They did the restructure, so it went down to $6.8 million and then $18 million, $18.2 in 2022. So this was the year that Ezekiel Elliott really hurt him. They were a contender. And then in 2023, he'll cost 5.8, and in 2024, he'll cost 6. He won't be on the roster for either of those last 2 years. So he will have actually seen of that, what is it? 6, so 12, that's 30. We'll do a lot of rounding here. 30, that's 13, so 43, 53. $53 million over, you got him for 4 years. So 4 years, $53 million, a little more than $13 million a year on average, with most of it, with the biggest hit really piled into 1 year. That's a lot, but it's not nearly the crazy five-year, $90 million monstrosity that it was made out to be. Now, the key to all of this, the kicker here, teams can plan this. They know that this is how it's going to go, and there is clearly, in a lot of contracts, the amount that they promised and the amount they actually intend to pay. With Ezekiel Elliott, they guaranteed him $50 million of that deal, and he saw most of that and a little extra if he gets cut this year. With Dalvin Cook, let's look at his. When it was signed, it was reported as a 5-year, $63 million extension when he signed it in 2020. And again, everybody freaked out because you can't pay running backs lest you get your skin flayed and stapled to the side of a barn. So let's say the Vikings do cut Dalvin Cook here. They will take $6.2 million in dead cap off of a $14 million cap hit. So they save about $8 million, a little less. Then they could also do the post-June thing and split that into two. With a $6 million cap hit, it feels a little bit like kind of whatever. I could take it or leave it. But there's that option too. But just cutting him. He will have made, in 2020, he made $4.6 million. In 2021, he made $5.1 million. Last year, he made $12 million. And then he will cost $6.2 million after that. That adds up to about $27.5 million, and you got 3 years of Dalvin Cook for that. So it turned into about $9.5 million a year over a 3-year deal, and you pushed some of the money into a fourth year to help the cap hits work out. It's not that bad. It's not that crazy. And I remember looking at the contract going, ah, yeah, this is a 3-year deal. And maybe they put a restructure in there if they want to, but it's like, ah, yeah, this is a 3-year deal. And people really freaked out. My God, 5 years, he's going to be almost 30 when he gets out of this contract. What are they going to, they're going to be paying so much in the last years. What are they going to do? And hopefully if you've been listening to this show, you knew not to panic that much about it. But if they do elect to keep him because they found the money elsewhere, I also get that. It's like pretty viable. Like I said, like maybe they just do some pretty big renegotiations with Thielen and Harrison Smith and cut like to Jordan Hicks, who you probably were cutting anyways because of Brian Asamoah, cut somebody like CJ Ham if you feel like you don't need a fullback next year. And then suddenly you're like getting close to being under, and you've still got opportunities to do things with someone like Brian O'Neill or someone like Za'Darius Smith or Eric Kendricks, be it cut those players. But again, you're not trying to get rid of people. And I see that a lot. Like I get, and I think especially when people are like mad after a playoff loss, they go, gosh, we're never winning a Super Bowl. Let's tear it all down. I'm too old for this. I need to sit through a rebuild, which is very funny logic to me. I hear it from like older fans a lot. That's like, I've been watching this team for 50 years. I don't want to sit through, I want to sit through a rebuild. I don't know. I'll never get it. But the goal is not, man, we have to get rid of all these old expensive players. The goal is to build a team. And the argument is, well, that player is taking up enough cap space where if you get rid of him and spend that cap space on something else, you can do so more efficiently and build a better team. But that's not the argument that I'm hearing a lot. I hear a lot of, we just have to accept that these guys aren't it and that they have to go. And it's a little more punitive than that. And again, I just want to remind everybody, that's not the goal. If you can save $7 million and keep Adam Thielen, save $7 million and get rid of Adam Thielen, it is very clear which one is the right idea. This is not about denying that there is a problem. It's finding a better way to solve it. So let's talk about what Dalvin Cook is and if he is part of a solution or if he's part of a problem or whatever, how we feel about him being a Viking in 2022 and how much we want that. That'll be next. But first, there are a couple teams who are still playing, four of them, to be precise, and you can bet on it at FanDuel.com. FanDuel is Locked On's new sports betting partner, and I'm super stoked on that because they're the number one sports book in America, and they have so many great ways for you to get involved, especially if you're new. You can join today and get started with $150 in free grambles guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That is, once again, $150 in free bets, whether you win or lose on those bets. It's just free grambling, right? Put right into your account at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. They have all of your favorite bets there, from money line, point spreads, player props. You can even do same game parlays and big kind of things. Really enjoy the championship game. That's how I like to do it with these championship games. I put together a weird parlay and see if I can't get lucky. All on an app that is safe, secure, and easy to use. So make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. I'll say it right now. I think Dalvin Cook got a little underrated this year. He was not the same guy that he's been for the last 3 or 4 years. And I'll get into the reasons for that in a sec. But I think people really thought he fell apart. I mean, we had people unironically arguing that Alexander Mattison was a better player. And at no point in his career has he been a better player. And Mattison, by the way, a lot of people say, well, what if we got rid of Cook and just rolled with Mattison from here on out? Mattison's an unrestricted free agent, too. So you'd have to give him a second contract off a rookie deal. You're paying top end market rate for that. And I don't think anybody's going to give that to Alexander Mattison. So he's going to test the market. And, you know, from there, you're bidding against other teams. And I don't know. At that point, if you're dipping into the free agent pool, you might as well look outside the scope of just the one guy that was here before. So I foresee Alexander Mattison goes and gets somewhere else. And I do think he'll get a decent deal, just not like a top of market one. But I guess my evaluation of Dalvin Cook this year was he still has the speed he always had. He still, I think, has the agility, like all the physical ability that he had to move around the field is still just as smooth and bursty at the same time as it always has been. I think my favorite move of his is, I call it like climb the staircase, where he'll be bouncing the ball outside and he kind of bends it upfield really smoothly. And usually this is when there's a safety who's got an angle on him, and it forces that angle to sort of steepen to go like more downfield. And then he cuts that outside. So it's kind of luring you into the wrong angle. Then you can cut outside of it. And it kind of looks like you, like a little staircase. So climb the staircase. You get it. That he is still very, very good at, and turned some, you know, 6-yard runs into 12-yard runs that way. But statistically, it does not look very good. And the reasons for that are a bunch. For one, I don't really trust the running back statistics. I think they kind of tell on themselves a little bit when they say, well, this doesn't correlate to anything. It's like, well, maybe it's not measuring what teams are looking at then. And I'll put a pin in that. I'll get back to it with rushing yards over expectation, which I'm very skeptical of as a stat right now. I think that could use some development, and it's very new, so it's got time to develop. It's a young stat. But also, there is a legit problem with Dalvin Cook, and it's availability, right? He played every game, but he was still dealing with the shoulder thing, and he was in a brace for a bunch of the year, and I think he played a little differently because of it. Dalvin Cook is usually a really greedy running back, and he had the ability to make that work. But he always played greedy. He played for home runs. He would try to extend the play as much as possible. He would always try to eke every little inch out that he possibly could. And 4-yard runs would become 7-yard runs. And over the course of a season, those marginal gains added up to, I think, make the run game more viable as a part of the offense. This year, he did not play greedy. He would just go down. So guys are coming at me. I'm just going to kind of dive forward and take what I can and try to minimize the contact. And I think when you've got like a shoulder that's separating, perfectly fair thing to do, but it does lead to being a less productive running back. So I think there is, as much as I'll criticize the running back stats, I think there is that signal there. And so I'll give them credit for that. But I do want to address the like rushing yards over expectation thing. And a lot of this came from the playoff game. The playoff game was really bad for Dalvin Cook in a stat called rushing yards over expectation, which was a big data bowl project from a couple of, I think, Austrian guys that had never seen football before, but decided to put in their entry where they took player tracking data and essentially found that there's a correlation between where players are at the time of handoff. If players are, you know, if there is a guy between you and the ball at time of handoff, you're going to be that much less likely to get a tackle. And from there, they can kind of build a model that is looking at player position at time of handoff and saying this run should get this many yards. And then essentially, and this is the part I take issue with, how you did better or worse than that, they credit to the running back. And the problem I have, and maybe I'm fundamentally misunderstanding rushing yards over expectation. So if I am, please let me know, because I don't want to hate on it if I don't understand it. But my understanding is that it looks at time of handoff. And so if you take the handoff, and between then and the time when you get to the line of scrimmage, a defensive lineman crosses face and gets in your gap and tackles you, that is credited to you by this stat. And that is the running back's fault. And that is a really common thing. Like, that is how they teach you to play gap and a half or two gap in a bunch of fronts. Like, any odd front is going to have that happen all day long. So that is a big problem for me. And if you go and watch, I challenge you to show me where there were supposedly dozens of yards that Dalvin Cook couldn't get. There was a lot of, here is the gap, and it looks like this is the gap that he should choose, and then it closes up when guys can't sustain their blocks. And that's why the run game didn't go. And also, that the run game just didn't have a lot of volume. And that is another reason why cutting Dalvin Cook is really defensible, is because Kevin O'Connell just doesn't run it that much. You don't, he doesn't need a bell cow, you know? You need Cam Akers, not Todd Gurley. It's fine, you know? So I land in a place with Dalvin Cook where if you keep him, I get it. I super get it. And I'm not like, there's not really a way that they could go with Dalvin Cook that like upsets me. I am just not going to have a passionate take on this. And that's okay. We don't have to be super extreme on one side of everything. All right. This ain't Sports Talk Radio. This ain't First Take. We can just be like, I don't know. I could see it another way and like, just leave it at that. Right. But what I'll say is if they don't cut Dalvin Cook, kind of means that other moves are going, they're going to do a lot of other cap stuff on other contracts, and they just don't feel like they need to do it with this one. And so if I were to guess, I would guess that they do it, because that feels like a less likely world than the one where they do cut Dalvin Cook. But I think the only way that I'll be mad is if they like use cap problems as an excuse, but then don't do anything with Dalvin Cook's contract. It's like, well, it didn't have to be as big of a problem. You clearly had an option right there. Like if they have a really unactive offseason and they don't sign any free agents and they don't do any, and they don't extend Jefferson, they don't do anything they're supposed to do. And then they're like, we didn't have the cap space. It's like, well, you could have, right? But that's one of the least likely worlds, in my opinion. That just feels like a lot dumber than Rob Brzezinski has ever been. And he's been in this job for like 20 years and he's been one of the best in the league for like 20 years, blazing trails and setting trends for sure. So I've got faith in this particular part of the Vikings front office. They tend to be pretty good at this stuff. If they can find the money without cutting Dalvin Cook, they will do it. And if they can't and they have to cut Dalvin Cook, it's a tough business. And thanks for all the fish. I will talk to you on Monday. We'll see what's going on. Maybe talk about the conference championships, if there's anything interesting to go into there. Otherwise, maybe we'll have a defensive coordinator to talk about. The Vikings finished up all their interviews this week, so, or at least the ones that they had requested, but O'Connell did say that he's still kind of, Ian Rappaport said that O'Connell said that they're still kind of waiting for head coaching stuff to shake out and other things, which is pretty typical. So we'll keep going as that goes on. I'll talk to y'all on Monday, and as always, Skol.